family.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. I am your backup host, Dave Atwell, filling
no,
in.
No, you're the host. Wonderful.
Dr. John Stamey. So let's officially turn over. I will always be the fill-in for Dr. John. Nevertheless, I hope everybody is doing well tonight. Everything here in Eastern North Carolina is drying out temporarily. It's funny, when you look at the weather over the next 3 days, every hour is a 50% chance of rain. So, basically, you can never be wrong when you shoot that way. So, if I can go gamble and put some money down and say, hey, this team might win or they might lose, I'll never lose. So being a weatherman's pretty, I think I missed my call.
Job.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally
there. 50% wrong to keep your job.
But it's a little misting rain out here, but I'll definitely take the 73 degrees and the gentle breeze blowing. And thank you, Greta Thunberg, for the wonderful weather. But nevertheless, I'm going to move on to our steam panel, as
did
we always
you really
do.
Say that? Dave, did you really say that? Thank you, Greta Thunberg.
We are a steam.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And we're a steam, too.
If you were steamed with an A, you'd be like a crab, right?
That's right.
So, esteemed. So, we're going to start off out there in Arkansas. And who I always rave about being in the middle of nowhere. But she's not in the middle of nowhere right now. Granny Hulkster is in Florida enjoying the company of some family and everything. And she is joining us this evening. So, Granny Hulkster, how are you doing this evening, young lady?
I'm well, thank you. We got in Monday afternoon, had a nice flight, and have enjoyed spending time with David's sisters. He's got one sister here from still visiting from Iowa. His two sisters live here, and then he has another sister that went back to California. Now, we didn't get to see her because she went back home before we got here, but we're leaving Friday to go back to Arkansas. But I tell you, my son has had an absolute blast. We were going to go sightseeing today, but it rained all most of the day, so we're going to try tomorrow. But my sister-in-law is like a pet sitter, but she has her own dogs and her own cats and everything. And my other sister-in-law, Dixie, she has a dog. Well, if you go check out my Facebook page, I have posted a bunch of pictures as I put my new fur baby friends in Florida, because his name is Bullet, and he is a Bull Mastiff American Bulldog. And Anthony was asleep in the recliner chair out on the sun porch, and Bullet was sitting in the chair kind of next to Anthony, but kind of like it looked like he was guarding him, like, you're not going to touch this boy. You're not going to wake him up. So Anthony has had a blast. I mean, he'll go out there, and he'll, you know, visit with everybody for a little bit, and he goes out on the porch. And they have another dog, his name is Rex, and he's like, I don't remember what kind he is, but, I mean, Anthony will, those dogs will get up in the chair with Anthony, and he'll sit and just have a conversation with them, and those dogs will just sit there and lay their heads on Anthony's lap and just having a good old time.
My one sister-in-law,
Dixie, that is fighting the leukemia, she's actually doing, all in all, she's doing pretty well. I mean, the chemo makes her tired, but she was really happy that we got to come down to see her. I mean, she actually cried when we got here Monday afternoon. She actually cried because she was so happy to see us, so.
Yeah, it's good to hear you're able out there, and folks in that situation can use all the happiness they can get. Send her the Pop Culture Star's best. That is for certain.
I certainly will.
Yeah, definitely all the thoughts and prayers heading that way because she's got a big challenge on her hands, which I'm sure she's up to it. So, but, yeah, it's good to have you aboard and safe travels on the way home there, Granny Hulkster. We'll make sure you get back in one piece and everything. And, again, tell the family we're thinking about them and hope all the best.
I will.
So we're going to move up the coast just a little bit to the Charleston, South Carolina area. And we're going to introduce Carolina Wrestling Hall of Fame inductee, the Amazing Velvet.
Yeah.
How are you doing, brother?
I'm good, I'm good. A little under the weather, but I'm all right. Don't know what I got. I know it's not COVID. I know it's not the Delta variant. So, it's called the variant.
excuse me, yeah. Epsilon is what's next. It's Epsilon, thank you.
Epsilon.
Oh
that's
my
right.
God. I'm going with the Vulcan variant next.
You got to use your imagination.
You.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Vulcan indeed.
Live long
yes.
and prosper. Thank you. All right. Anyway, no, I'm good. It's just a head cold. It sucks though. Well, that's why I could talk real deep today.
Yeah, sometimes you can just pick up the cooties overnight type thing, and you get rid of it
the
day, and you move on about your business.
Yep. Well, the bad thing is, this rain screwed me up, and it rained all day yesterday. And then it rained early this morning, then it stopped. Then it rained again this afternoon, then it stopped. And tomorrow's like 70% here. I'm like, come on, man. Give me a break.
Yeah.
But it is what it
That's
is.
That's what we're dealing with right now. There's a misting kind of rain going on right now where you can feel it, but you can't see it.
See it, yeah.
And
I hate those.
Yeah. It's kind of that feeling you get when you're feeling about maybe 30 feet from a fountain and the wind is blowing in
your
you're not getting wet but you can still feel it, you know. But yeah, at any given moment I'm sure it's going to go to hell. That's why I didn't bother lighting up tonight, and I wasn't in the mood to run back and forth. So but
no, nope, I got you on that. Yes,
home.
Yes, I'm here.
Get the feeling better.
I'm
so
good.
Now we're going to
keep on rolling.
That's it. Got to keep getting it. We're going to move north, way north to a certain extent, up there to the Indianapolis area. And we're going to ask our good brother, Tim Armstrong, how is he doing this evening?
The bug spray is applied. The Shirley Temple has been made. And I'm ready to do the show with some good old-fashioned porch sitting. We've had some better weather, I think, than you folks. It's actually been unseasonably cool, which is a stinging reminder that fall is going to be approaching soon. But nonetheless, ready for a good show, ready to hear Dr. John again. Let's get it going.
Yes, sir. You know, I actually have some leaves falling already, believe it or not. So, with you. Fall is the season to be. If there's a good season to do some streaking, man, it is fall. That is the time. So look forward to it. Good to have you aboard, Daddy-O. And last but not least, the Anchorman, my good brother, out there in Indianapolis, Todd Saxon. How are you doing tonight, bud?
I am outstanding and supernatural ecstatic to be here. Y'all are a trip, man. And although I believe it, because any time that you catch 70 degrees, your last day of July was actually pretty pleasant, but any time you catch 70 degrees when it's still light out in eastern North Carolina, the end of July, early August, I bet some of that foliage thinks it's fall. And it might as well have a frost warning going on. That is something else. Who'd have thunk it? But we've had some wicked cool weather. We've had some mornings. Tim alluded to it earlier. I think we had like 59 this morning when I got up around 4, and it was just, it's like, wow, I was impressed.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, dude.
Yeah, I took a Ferris Bueller day today. I took a Ferris Bueller day today, and I ended up in the pool with the kids, and I kind of regretted it. I hung in there for a little bit. I got underwater. I was swimming around. I was like, I can warm up, and then I finally gave. I screamed uncle, and I got out. But we were in the pool for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool weather. Well,
by the way, Tim, there were no casts delivered in the second half of the day, just saying.
Awesome.
Just so you know.
Glad to hear it.
Hey, speaking of pools, Tim, where we're staying at down here in Port Charlotte, Florida, at my sister-in-law's house, they actually have a swimming pool. We all got up early yesterday morning, and we all went and got in the pool about 6 o'clock yesterday morning. It's got a big,
wow,
nice screened-in porch around the pool. The moon was out, and we were swimming at 6 o'clock yesterday morning.
Are you saying you were mooning people at 6 in the morning?
No, I wasn't mooning people.
Yes,
the moon was out. I wasn't mooning anybody. And even if I was Todd Saxon, nobody could have seen it because it was all dark out.
No, it was a great white dolphin. It was a great white dolphin.
We're streaking.
The pool is behind the house. Pool is behind the house, and it's got this big,
we're
nice,
not worthy,
straight-in porch. So it was nice. It was nice just to get in and swim.
Nothing wrong with floating around like a little ice cube. That's good times. Of course, I've got the hot tub here, and it's probably a better thing because every time I get into the hot tub, I feel like I have to drink myself blind, so the water isn't so deep and keeps me from pulling a Whitney Houston. So, yes,
listen to this.
Very enjoyable.
Hey, buddy.
I certainly enjoy the hot tub. So, a couple weeks ago, we had our long-lost host and very good friend, Dr. John, join us. And he was telling us about his new book, but then all of a sudden, he vanished. And the good news is he was not abducted by aliens from the planet Hysterectomy
19.
And he's still with it. It was a charging issue, a technical issue, and again, it's called refined. That was a technical, not testicle issue, a technical issue. So, all that being said, we have got Dr. John back with us tonight. Thank goodness. It's going to be good to hear from him. And he's going to be going back over his upcoming book. And Dr. John, damn good to have you back again and safe.
Well, it is an absolute pleasure to be here with, you know what, you guys are my friends, and that's what's so cool about it. It's great to be here with you, and I've got some announcements to make, and I hope they will be well received. First of all, the book, How to Survive a UFO Invasion, is going well. We've got Reverend Lynn Myers, who is going to be writing a chapter about how to use the name of Jesus to not be abducted. And I think that's going to be a very, very telling chapter. And people don't understand this, I guess, in 2021. They don't understand that it's okay to say God and it's okay to say Jesus. Now, I'm sorry. Dave, I hope I'm not causing any problems, but that's the way it is. So we've got Reverend Lynn Myers going to be writing a chapter in the book, and it's going to be finished here in a couple of weeks. John LeMay, my buddy from Roswell, is going to have his chapter. John has got almost 35 books out there, and John has done a great job in making a living on Amazon selling books, and I'm proud of him. I'm proud that he's my friend, and I think it's going to be exciting. So we've got some really good topics for this book, and I think realistically we're looking at the first weekend of October when the book is going to be available, and I wanted it to be available on Labor Day weekend. but it probably won't be because we want to make sure it's quality and everything, and that's very important. So, and by the way, Dave, you still there with me? Have you dumped
me? Not yet.
Okay, you're still with me. You haven't dumped me yet. I have got a new buddy. You see, I have all these new friends that I make and everything, and I would like to bring on my friend. He's going to talk about the difference between Buddhism and Islam, and he's very entertaining. So I'm trying to get him around, and he's a lot of fun. So we'll talk about having him on here. But I'll tell you what, I'm excited about being on Pop Culture. Sorry. I work too much. I'm excited about being on Pop Culture Stars, number one. And number two, we're going to have some new guests on, some of my new friends. And number three, I think we're going to have a great time. So would it be okay if I came back next week? I might just stay here a little bit longer because I think the conversation is going to be exciting. If I can stay here a little bit longer with you, let's just do it, and I think we'll have a good time.
Hey, that sounds great to me. As it goes, this is your show, and I am just a summer rental. So for crying out loud, you don't have to ask. You are always.
Oh come on! You're know what? You're the stalwart. You're the guy that has been staying here with us and has been hosting this, and we really appreciate it. And we appreciate Tim. We appreciate Granny Hulkster, Todd, my buddy, that you know who's in one of my books. I cannot thank all of you enough for continuing with Pop Culture Stars.
And don't forget,
and I got bad news. I might just kind of like hang out here for a while. So
hey.
let me join the crew and not the cast and everything. So let me join the crew and Dave, go on from here. You're doing a great job.
Hey, I appreciate it very much.
Hey, Dave.
Oh,
I
of
got
course,
something
Belden.
To share with Dr. John really quick. This
Uh-oh.
Is really funny. Now, Dr. John will get a kick out of this, I think. The house that we're staying
okay.
in, Dr. John, at my sister-in-law's
oh,
here in Port Charlotte, Florida, she has outside lights, you know, like in the around her fence line, around the house and everything. Well,
oh, yeah.
when she was living over here, when she was staying over here before she moved into her other house, she had these two women that were very nosy neighbors. And so the ladies asked her one time, she says, well, why do you have all those lights on for? She says, well, she says, oh, I forgot to tell you. She says, this is a landing strip for aliens, and this is my landing pad for the alien spaceships that come to visit me. And those women never bothered her again, she said.
Excuse me, I want to meet this lady. She sounds absolutely awesome.
Well, I knew you'd get a kick out of that, and I told Sean
absolutely.
When she told us that story, I said, I've got to tell my friend Dr. John about this because he'll get us such a kick about it. So I had to share that with you, Dr. John.
Absolutely, and I want to come to the landing strip. Absolutely.
You
want
to come to the landing strip, okay. Okay,
that's
carry
great.
On,
thank
Dave.
Landing strip. Depends on which
thank
landing
you, Granny
strip
Hulkster.
You're talking about.
Say what? Where'd you go, Velvet?
You know, it went over everybody's head. It's okay.
Re-repeat that, Velvet.
I said depends on which landing strip you're talking about. Don't.
Okay.
But she said it was a landing strip for aliens, so, you know.
Okay.
Hey, moving on,
again.
Everybody.
Go, Dave, please reel it back in.
I'm trying to picture a landing strip for aliens. Do they land? Like,
oh my God.
Do they hover
not
land?
You.
Or do they land? like a space shuttle, like
Tim,
a plane landing, like a DC-10 landing.
He's gone already.
I'm trying to think. Seeing I've never experienced such events, I'm trying to figure out, just in case I need to get a landing area in my yard for one.
There you go.
Of course, to be honest with you, an alien probably would be best off not getting on my property because Rob is way too skittish and way too armed. And
yeah, they wouldn't be here. They wouldn't be here long.
I'd be out digging a hole in the middle of the night cussing Rob. Jesus Christ, I ain't got time to do this tonight, dude. Come on.
Right.
So, yeah, and I'm all out of line.
I think they should write that lady a ticket. Because I'll bet she doesn't have a customs unit or anything like that. You need to write her a citation for that.
Stupid. Tim, I was trying to get you to help me. I thought Dave was gone already.
Yeah. I can see. All I know, though, is that somebody, if that were to happen in Louisiana, they'd be trying to stew that damn thing after they killed it.
Oh, yeah, I got that new alien Buddha now.
That's it.
It's out
that
of this
alien
world.
Right, that's
yes,
right.
Sir.
Be out of this world.
Hook it up.
That's crazy.
So, Dr. John,
yes.
You're still with us, correct?
Yes, sir.
Outstanding. So if you would, fill in the listening public on what all is going on with your book. I mean, what, and just to kind of review what you had told us earlier, let us know what the book's about.
The book is about how to survive a UFO invasion because we are in phase one. And phase one happens to be the fact that we have aliens coming down, we have abductions, and we have cattle mutilations. That is phase one. Now, I have done some real research, and it's been a lot of fun, about Roswell, and John LeMay, my buddy in Roswell, has pointed me to some you know, some good resources, and we're going to add those to the whole mix. So I'll tell you what, we have got a mess on our hands on phase one. And phase two and phase three and phase four, those are things that we see in movies. Like, I mean, and one of my favorite films, and I'm gonna forget the name of it, but Michael Rennie's, oh yeah, The Day the Earth Stood Still. That is one of the greatest alien movies of all time. It's like when they show up on the White House lawn, and it's like, well, hey, we're here. So, you know, I'm going to project the next four alien epics of, you know, coming down to Earth. But the first one is what we're in now. And that's what we started with Roswell. So that's what it is. I know it doesn't sound that very exciting, but it really is. I mean, we don't know what's going on. And Dave, or
sir,
Todd, or Tim, or Granny, or Velvet, have any of you ever seen a UFO?
Depends on how much I've had.
Big question.
I did not mean to laugh at that. I don't know. I can't say that I have.
Yeah, same. I don't think I have either.
Well, it's really
I've seen some things.
Not
I've wondered. I swear,
right.
I've seen stars move. Other than that, but, you know, so what was that? Can I say it was a UFO? I couldn't get on a soapbox on that one. But I've seen things I know I didn't comprehend.
Well, you know, it was interesting. A study was done of UFO invasion people, the folks that had been abducted, and they said that they all looked kind of alike. They all had thin frames, They had thin faces and everything. And so it was really interesting. I'm saving that for the book. But, you know, those that have experienced this look a lot alike. So we'll see. We'll add that to the book, okay?
So in the event that these cats are going to invade, would they invade with a full frontal assault, like a military type of assault, like you see in the movies, or would they infiltrate and assimilate, with all them big words?
Like V.
Right.
Yeah, I think they would infiltrate and assimilate because they just don't want to scare everybody. I mean, that would be frightening to say, oh, my God, here's an alien invasion.
Because there's a few people that I've met here recently that I would swear came from a different planet.
Okay.
All you got to do is Walmart, and you can see a ton of them.
Concur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But you just kind of wonder about them. And, I mean that's the whole point. You wonder about them. Are they part of the alien invasion or not? We'll see. Give us 10 years, and then we'll know the answer to these questions. We really will. But in the next 10 years, we won't.
So I missed the answer, though. I think I was trying to talk at the same time. What? I had the exact same question Dave did. So what was the answer again? Are they going to come at us? Like, is it just going to be annihilated before we even know what the hell's going on? Or is this going to be a slow try to observe us and mess with us and then ultimately, when they're done, just clean us up?
To be honest with you, I think it's going to be a slow and try to observe us because I think that's what they've been doing for years. And we'll see what they do. Next question.
Do you think there's anything to the underground base in Dulce?
Pardon me, say that again?
In Dulce, New Mexico, do you think there's anything to that supposed underground base?
I don't think there's anything to any underground bases in New Mexico that, in my opinion, with what I've been told and I've been followed by the men in black, I think they are somewhere else. And what's really funny is no one has ever mentioned the location that I know. So
below the Denver airport.
Pardon?
Below the Denver airport. Haven't you ever heard that? There's a big old conspiracy about, Illuminati's involvement and all that. But there's all kinds of things about what's going on underneath the Denver airport. There's like all these huge tunnel system. There's all kinds of stuff going on that no one can really get to, but it's underground underneath the Denver airport.
Now that is interesting because there was a lot of scuttle about the underground tunnels of the Denver airport about 10 to 15 years ago, and that's kind of gone away. So I don't know, but there was a lot to that. Tim, will you agree, at least agree with that, that was something that was kind of a big deal?
I honestly, to be completely honest with you, I had just recently heard about it, and it wasn't like any kind of a big deal was made of it. There's a channel that I'm not going to say I follow, but I watch some videos every once in a while from a very reputable person on YouTube, and he was showing his top 10 whatever places where you're not supposed to go, and it's like completely unexplainable. And one of his featured things was beneath the Denver airport. So that's really like I had never heard of it until then. So
I think he may be right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he may be right because I think There are things. There's such spacious technology about the Denver airport. I think, you know, just we need to hold that one open. And
like how they change their decorations, if you will. Okay, it's a truly disturbing decorations when they were set up. The murals and such.
Okay, yeah, that's right. And when you talk about decorations, we're talking about murals. I mean, that was a bit of a mess. So, I mean, who knows? But we need to watch and be careful because there are these things that are out there, and we don't know what they really are. We can say what we think they are, but my goodness, we really need to understand what is going on out there. So just watch out.
I was shooting up on Alpha Dulce, the drawn blank on the guy that claimed to have been involved in the event down there. Some other follow-up stories. See what the heck else. Now, you're talking about referencing other places. I remember a story, and it was somewhere, let's say northeast, east-ish, like I'm thinking Connecticut, could be wrong, right, where a private pilot was flying, and he was had some issues with the aircraft, and he was looking to use a field to do a landing. You know, it wasn't a crazy emergency, but he was still going to have to land away from the airport, as I understood it. And he referenced the ground effectively zipping open and being able to see an underground facility. And I want to say it in the 70s-ish.
Now that is very interesting. I mean, you know, people can see things like that. They can report them. But, you know, will we really remember them? Will they make the test of time?
Yeah.
I mean, Todd, I mean, you heard this. You remembered it. You told us about it. But what I'm saying is, do other people remember it? Or is this just one of those, Todd remembered this and we'll go on?
So here's kind of a far off the cuff question for you, Dr. John, just something to kind of think about.
Yes, sir.
You know, last, two, 3 weeks ago when Bezos went up on his Space Woody. And then, of course, Branson.
You're so stupid.
Richard Branson went up. And it's funny when I'm watching this whole thing and everybody's going, ooh and ah, and this is so neat. The whole time I'm thinking, man, this is not good. And the reason why I say it's not good is because now we have civilians going into space. And it's not to say there's something wrong with a civilian going in space, but the problem with a civilian going in space is the Waltons are civilians. Charles Manson was a civilian. Dr. Evil was a civilian.
That is right.
So my point being is, in the event that we are being visited, who was?
Elvis was not.
Elvis, he was just a hunk of burning love, man. He didn't need a rocket. So,
we had one up his ass.
Yeah, well, had one stuck there. That's how he ended up
on a toilet.
Yeah, not me, yeah. Couldn't get rid of one and straining too hard, and the king took a... Do you know that he was actually going to a veterinarian for his tranquilizers? That normal human narcotic?
That's crazy.
He had such a tolerance built up for human narcotics and pharmaceuticals that he was actually having to get veterinary help to get something strong enough to get him to where he wanted to be. And
wow.
It made yeah. It made it too hard, and he got on the turlet one night and couldn't get that thing to show up. And, you know, one of the things they tell you, when you have a heart attack, one of the things they tell you is start taking stool softeners, because you don't want to get on the turlet and start trying to show it who's boss, because it puts too much strain on your heart. And,
I got a fiddlehead poking out.
Aye. And again,
I got corn in my crap bigger than that, baby.
When you take a muscle relaxer, damn, your heart is a muscle. So when you take a muscle relaxer, your heart's also on vacation. So, yeah, I'm sure the king's probably sitting there on the cloud right now going, oh, yeah, well, I know about it now, dumbass. Thank you very much. So, but back to aliens and civilians going in space. Dr. John, how bad is that going to screw things up with having – now, granted, your average human being is not going to be able to go up in space for whatever reason you want to put on it, be it financial, me. You ain't putting me on one of them damn things. So
yeah. Absolutely.
For those people out there like me, but again, it only takes one idiot. So having a civilian population.
It only takes one idiot, so tell us, Dave.
Nice.
Well, I can pick them out of the crowd, see. I'm real good at noticing these things. But, you know, Bezos or Richard Branson, they're a different ilk. I'm not saying they're genius-level people, but they're certainly, ahead of the curve when it comes down to, responsibility and intelligence and everything else. But
right.
If you were to take, and I'll just use the term clown, who was the guy who put his kid in the balloon a couple years ago and run the kid up? In the balloon, I want
to say
it was in Arizona or something.
Didn't that turn out to be fake, or am I thinking of something else?
I don't know, but I mean, it would be that kind of asshole that would screw everything up, though. You know, because if we're trying to, if these things are actually coming here, whether they have any intention of harming us or not is neither here nor there. We certainly don't want to give them a reason to feel that way, right?
That is correct.
If you're putting the average Joe with the average Joe amount of intelligence and responsibility, how bad does that hose things up for us when you're putting ne'er-do-wells up there in space?
Well, I believe they have to be careful with who they put up in space, number one. And number two, they just have to be careful with who they get to represent us. Because let's face it, if you get someone that's a jerk, you're going to get bad results. So get someone that is very, very responsible. That's what I think. I mean, do you agree with that, Dave?
Oh, absolutely. And that's where my fear would lie with that, is that it would just be that one ding-a-ling that would go out there. I mean, we all have that one friend that we can go out somewhere and has the ability to get in a scuff with a total stranger. And I remember one young man that I was friends with, and I'm still friends with to this day, but whenever he decided to go out with us, we were always like, oh, God, not him, because he just had the ability to rub people the wrong way. And I remember one night he came up to me and he goes, "Atwell, man, Atwell, you see those Marines over there?" I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Man, they want to whip our ass." And I says, "No, they want to whip your ass. I'm over here enjoying my drinks, minding my own business. You're the one over there antagonizing the hell out of them. So you go handle it." But it would be that one type of person that would go up there in the space and somehow agitate the situation. So, I mean, and this is just starting. You know, this is just starting. When you've got guys, now Richard Branson and Bezos, of course, they've got enough money where they can do this kind of stuff. But as things carry on, I mean, hell, look at computers. You know, 25 years ago, a computer was not a luxury, but or even a widescreen TV. If you had a widescreen TV, you were like, "Well, damn, you're doing good, man. He's got a widescreen TV in there." Well, now you can't buy anything but widescreen TVs.
Right.
Computers. It's not one of those things where you're going, "Hey, man, I'd like to have me one of them." Now you almost have to have a computer in your house. Paying bills, going to school, all that kind of nifty stuff. So
I just beat two rocks together.
Pull out the old Campbell's can, yeah, with the string. But you got to think,
if
Bezos and Branson are able to go up in space, how many more people are going to be able to do it 10 years from now for whatever reason?
Well, Dave, this is Dr. John, likely a lot, because it'll become something that we all can do. If we've got a little bit of money, we can pay for it. So I think it'll happen.
Well, that's what happens when you cut funding and NASA, this is, we're doing something different. I mean, come on, man. You're gonna have I agree. You're gonna have a bunch of yahoos trying to go into space. What happens
yes,
when there's a catastrophe?
Are.
Wait, what happens if there's a catastrophe, like the space shuttle blowing up? One of these rockets blow up. Oh my God! We'll never hear the end of it.
Hey, we got somebody in the queue.
Ah, I will go in there and click them in. And I'll refresh my drink while I'm in there. So Todd, if you would take over for me.
I got it. Midget porn. I don't think so. Actually, far more frequent on your show. We have the professor of wrestling hanging in the queue.
Steve Logan with
us? Mr. Steve Logan himself.
I was just saying midget porn for you taking over while Dave was out.
Yeah. Hey, I'm here.
Steve-O.
What's up, guys?
What's going on?
Yeah, I had a question for Dr. John. Is there a possibility that these UFO sightings are underwater flying objects? Because there was a California sighting that a craft went into water. So I'm wondering if there's like a possible underwater.
All right, now I've got to admit, I interviewed a fella, and I cannot remember his name, about underwater UFO sightings. There are a ton of them. And, you know, we don't know, but there are. Oh, his name was Preston Dennett, and he's got a second book out, and I've actually got an email out to him, say, "Preston, you want to come back on the show?" But, no, there are a lot of them. So don't know what to say except that they're here. They are here, and they are underwater. They are.
They live
above ground. They're everywhere.
Do you think that the public media is bringing attention to it to maybe distract or control the public in some way?
I think, frankly, the media doesn't really care. If they can get a story out of it, that's great. If they can't, they don't care. That's what I think. I don't think that there's any responsibility from the media. But, you know, that's what I think.
All right.
It's a bad thing to say, Steve's kind of touched on something.
There's a couple things going on here. You know, we've got some general odds and ends being released. Nobody will willing to take a decision on some of the stuff that they're giving. But with the media stuff, it had been, how do I want to say, we've had a couple different directions with media reporting over many, many a year. And I'm talking, we referenced it the last show we were discussing the that you were on, Dr. John, the incident down there in Texas. Where they had the burial, and it was in the newspaper. It was just a newspaper article. It was just nobody added an eye. It was a newspaper article, somebody out there reporting, telling it. There was some early stuff where pilots could report things, had an incident, and it would get published. And then it became a thing of almost anything but ridicule it, talk it down. Now it's starting to kind of come back. It's kind of being talked about. It's still why have been stories in mainstream. It's still not mainstream in and of itself, if you will. But if we start seeing some of these more stories in the mainstream, do you think there's a, and I know you just said no, but I'm going to throw this out there. Think there's anything in there from a higher level trying to start softening the blow?
Well, maybe.
Hey,
because,
I think the Catholic Church admitted the possibility.
Well, I think the more that they talk about it, the less our psyche really says, oh, my goodness, there's a UFO. Oh, well, maybe it's okay, you know, whatever. So I believe that the more they talk, they, whoever they are, the more the government and whatever talk about it, the more desensitized we become.
There it is.
That's what I think.
And the media, the media doesn't report it because A, it's not political enough, and B, it had nothing to do with race.
Not yet.
I meant our race, not theirs.
I was going to say, let a cop beat an alien up and it's all over.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if he chokes him out and puts his knee on his neck, if he has one. But think about it. It's not political enough, so nobody's going to – it's out of politics because they don't gain anything from saying anything about it, number one. Number two – the media,
right.
Like Dr. John said, doesn't care. They don't care because it's not newsworthy to them. So, okay. And desensitizing
well,
it is the only way for it to get to the next step. Yeah. I mean, they can't do fear. If they do fear with it, they lose control of the masses. They don't want that. They want us in fear of them. They want us. The government wants us in fear of them, not something else.
Well, Amazing Velvet, I think you've got the right take on it, that they don't care. And they've got to go to their next headline to make a living. I mean, well, we've already heard UFOs. Okay, done.
Yeah, but
they're
not going to make a living off that, right, because they'd have to have some substantiated claims. They'd have to, you know, it's a whole big mess for them, so that's why they don't think it's worth a damn.
Exactly. I believe in what you're saying 100%.
Jeez.
Anything coming out of the media right now.
Go ahead, Todd. Dave and I spitballed an idea or two earlier, and I was thinking I really wanted to do something light, maybe pseudo-uplifting, relaxing, or whatever. boy, we are pretty damn serious. Not that we're not still finding ways to laugh and things like that, but we got into a much more serious topic tonight. So once again, we really do not plan this stuff, just throwing it out there, because we are probably polar opposites of where I wanted to go tonight. So just saying, just throwing it out there.
Well, I hope we did a good job for you, Todd. I hope we appreciate it. Absolutely.
No, look, everybody's engaged. Hell, it was Granny, damn it. You started it with that landing strip.
Granny, thank you. We love you, Granny.
But, you know, talking about the press, though, and how they would handle it, if you kind of look at the way they did COVID and nobody can get the truth, and that's to me is the biggest problem with this whole inoculation thing, is that the sooner they told the truth, the sooner people would be willing to comply. And, I mean, if somebody was to walk up to you, I don't know about you guys, but when I go out, I carry my drink with me. If I got to take a leak, I carry my drink with me. Why? Because I trust no one.
And I don't want to wake up on a ship.
Right. And people do sketchy things
for
sketchy reasons. Right. Yeah, exactly. It could be worse, right?
Kidney's missing.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, so when it comes down to telling the truth, if they have any type of inkling with alien contact or something, I doubt if the media is going to be at all a place to get any type of information. I'll tell you how bad it is, and I might have shared this with you guys, and if I did, I apologize. I'm going to share it again.
Oh, who are you kidding? You ain't. That was the most insincere apology ever.
Yeah, let me apologize in advance, right? I'm totally drawing a blank on her name.
Hey,
Phil Patterson. Okay.
Dave?
Sir?
Oh, I was going to ask you a question, but you can. I was going to ask you a question, but you can finish your story there.
Oh, I got you. Duck Dynasty, the mom, and I can't remember her name, very sweet lady. Anyhow, what had happened, and I'll tell you the meat of the story, and I'll tell you what the headline read, right? But what had happened is that she has a small dog, like Yorkie-type dog, and it was sleeping, and she did the exact same thing I do 100 times a day to my dog. She bent over to give her dog a kiss, right? And it startled the dog.
I must say,
and it startled the dog, and it nipped her on the lip. Right? It was a total reactionary thing. She went to the doctor. She had one stitch put into her lip, and she came home. And she was quoted as saying, "Hey, I startled the dog. I should have known better. He's just doing what they do. I would have done the same thing had you scared me when I was sleeping. So I'm fine, and I feel bad for scaring my dog." Okay, so again, she went to give her dog a kiss, startled the dog. The dog nipped at her, got her in the lip. She got one stitch. Okay, the headline read, I lie to you not, the headline read, "Duck Dynasty matriarch is hospitalized after vicious dog attack." No shit. That's exactly what the headline read. And that is the reason why I read it, because I'm going, oh, my God, I hope she's okay, because she is a nice lady. And I read this, and by the time I get to the bottom of it, I'm so ripping pissed. I'm happy to know that she's okay, and I'm happy to know that it wasn't, you know, some vicious Cujo attack, that it was just a family pet. But on the flip side, I was pissed at the byline. And I thought to myself, this is the problem with the media, is that we cannot get the straight story to save our ass. And in the event that there was some type of alien contact, I mean, God knows what the press would run with it, and perhaps, like we were speaking earlier, stir something up and get the fear going and get the, I mean, because fear-mongering makes good stories. And before you know it, everybody's down, you know, dropping a load in their britches and is handling the situation incorrectly. Like we're doing
look,
with COVID.
Look, I know we can run with this. I know we can run with this with just the media, the way they phrase the headlines and stuff. But before we forget, Professor Steve did have that question in the queue for you, Diamond Dave.
Yeah, Steve, go right ahead, buddy. Good to have you aboard tonight.
Yeah, I was looking at your page, and I was wondering what the Hunger series is because I saw that you're. I remember you're a writer. I was wondering what was that? Who kind of influenced it?
I got you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's
man. Look, it's at, all, I'm digging it. He admits to stalking on air.
Investigate.
You know, it's funny.
Oh, investigate. There we go. That. Oh, I'm sorry. That is another word for it. Thanks, Steve.
It's funny, Steve, that you said that because it was a couple of years back. We were having a managerial change on the job, and I walked into the office and I saw three or four of the lower level management all hovered together on their phones, and they were on Facebook, and they're going, "Oh, well, he's got three kids." And I said, "What the hell are you guys doing?" And they were actually stalking this cat's Facebook and Instagram and everything else before he even got on the job. And I'm like, y'all put them damn phones up and act like a human being. Come on now. But nevertheless, no, when Steve doesn't want to know about my book, it's actually a damn good thing. So, yeah, I appreciate the stalking, Steve. Well done. But, no, the Hunger series is all based around a curse called The Hunger. And basically what it is when you receive this curse in your bloodstream, you have to feed, and to feed is, of course, on human flesh. And basically, it can fall either way. It almost becomes a fountain of youth to a certain extent if you're willing to do the dirty, if you will, if you're willing to live better at the expense of other people. But if you don't, you do the right thing, and you don't feed off the human flesh, you will get what they call the rot, which is basically just a total decaying of the body, and until you just turn into a feral, shambling former existence of yourself, it's a very painful, horrible, lonely way to go. But it's the most noble way to go. So the first two books, Rotting Frontier and Revelation, they start in the American frontier, and it kind of introduces the curse in a more desolate type of setting where people died in the frontier and, well, people just disappeared. And it was kind of under the assumption that when people quit seeing you, that you had passed away via elements, you know, wildlife attacks, you know, Native American attack, all that kind of stuff. So for somebody to turn up missing back really wasn't news. It was just kind of part of what happened when you were pushing through that desolate area of the frontier. And so basically what's happening is that this group of people are actually hiding from the members of the region who have the curse, because these people who have it are actually now they're not hunting deer and elk and buffalo. They're hunting humans to find their next meal. So in the second book, Revelations, there's a character in there that does something pretty sketchy. And at the end, spoiler alert, turns up in, 20 years later, turns up in London. And he gets there, and it's 1888 or 1886 when he gets there. And now he is in a situation where it's the polar opposite, and that's where the third book, Ripper, comes in. And now instead of being a guy trying to find people to feed off of in a desolate area, now he's in such a concentrated area that now he has to find a way to feed, but nobody finds it. So what he does is he opens up a mortuary, and that's how he does his feeding, that, you know, loved ones bring their, people bring their fallen loved ones there, and he actually puts them on a scale and says, okay, well, she weighs, you know, 150 pounds. He cuts off what he wants for consumption, and he weighs what's left. And he goes, okay, that's 120 pounds. He puts the 120 pounds in the casket, goes out in the alley and gets a bunch of debris, and puts 30 pounds of debris in the casket. So that way, when the family's picking the casket up, they don't ask any questions. So it actually eases into the Jack the Ripper thing, and we find out how the curse was behind a lot of the Jack the Ripper slayings and other misdeeds that were going on in Whitechapel in 1888. So, and then the third or the fourth book, which is written, I just haven't put it out yet, goes back to the frontier. The fifth book, we're wrapping up the storyline there. And then we will move on to Rasputin. And I've got something laid out and Rasputin, what makes him so intriguing is that what they did, they poisoned him, they shot him, they stabbed him, they done all kinds of stuff to him. The guy wouldn't die.
I'm definitely interested when that Rasputin book comes. Comes to be. Let me know.
An intriguing figure, man. So, and then from there we're going to move on to the Third Reich, and I'm actually going to salt in my personal belief that Hitler made it out of Germany. So that's going to be something that extends not only to World War II, but
Argentina.
Yeah, it'll actually move into South America and that kind of stuff. And Hitler,
you guys
will
are great,
actually be trying to harness the hunger curse. So, yeah, I appreciate you asking, man. It feels good to talk about it. It's unfortunately, you know, several things have happened with the publishing. You know, getting your book published by a publisher isn't all what's cracked up to be. So that kind of held things up for me. And then, of course, real life gets in the way. You know, if I told you I could pay a mortgage on writing books, I would still be writing books. You got to keep your day job. Yeah, you got to keep working and write when you can. And so that slows the process a bit, but yeah, I appreciate you asking, man. It feels good to talk about it, man. It feels pretty good to stretch out the old storyline again. I appreciate that.
Is there
right back to we are unscripted people?
Is there any authors that you favor?
Oh man,
ooh, this might
well,
be a loaded
Velvet
question. Hold on, this might be a. I'm going to jump in here real quick. This might be a loaded question. Because not just some of the big names that might be out there that influenced him in the past, but I'm going to tell you, Dave is part of that author group of several folks that we know. So I am digging this question, Steve. So I want to see where this goes.
Yeah, I would.
Loaded question.
Yeah, it's open-ended.
I would immediately tell you, for somebody that I don't know, and I've often considered my writing, if you want to get in a Cadillac and have a nice, smooth, even ride with the air conditioner blowing on you, don't read my books. My book is in a Jeep, in the mud, bouncing you all over the place. It's not meant to be Shakespeare.
Porn.
It's not, yeah, it's not meant to be.
Well, the family
has fun
to be in the caddy.
Yeah, it's not a Ruth Chris steak. It's more like a package full of damn gum that you're just chewing the hell out of. You know what I mean? So that being said, Jim Butcher, the Dresden series, and God knows, there's like 20-some-odd books in the Dresden series. I've never met Mr. Butcher, but nevertheless, he's another one. The books are very intriguing. They're all bubblegum for the mind, as they say. And he is a psychic detective. And they have humor. They have suspense. They have everything in them. So I would suggest his stuff. And then on a personal level, of course,
John,
you got Chris. You've got Dr. John.
He was asking the author's name.
I mean,
yeah, this is
Dr.
John. I was saying, what was going on?
Well, what was the first name mentioned?
Jim Butcher.
Okay.
Then the Dresden.
You mean Dr. John?
Yeah. Dr.
Okay.
John's on a different level. But that's the good news about writing my own books. I've been surrounded by so many people that have just as much, if not more, talent than me. And I know it's cliched a lot of times in the business to kind of make yourself number one. But I've always made it a habit of talking other people up beyond myself. And truth be told, it has really come back to me. So I have absolutely no problem with tooting other authors' horns. But that being
Dave,
said,
I'm going to make
John,
you rewalk your dog. You, I think they had chimed in and asked who the original author was of the Dresden series when you were getting you were talking about the crew, if you will.
Yeah.
If you remember, I have a certain group I refer to as my bookies. Being you, Bill Fripp, and Chrissy Lessig.
Yep, and that's where I was heading, right there to them, because those folks right there are a lot like me when it comes down to they're good, salt-of-the-earth type people that write from the heart, and you can see it in their writing. Very talented, very good at the storytelling and everything. And, yeah, Chrissy Lessig with the Crystal Coast series. And I know I'm going to mispronounce Ad Infinitum. Is that what it was? I know I'm mispronouncing
Ad
that. By Bill, there you go. By Bill Fripp. Probably more under William Fripp, I believe. But, nevertheless, they and their local folks. And very talented, wonderful people that I have a personal affection for. That I'd suggest they're reading too, because they've got damn good stuff. So, and you can also find them on Amazon, like you can mine. So yeah, I would.
I'm thinking they would be a good show too. Just throwing it out there, we've talked about it a few times.
Oh, easy. And that's the frustrating thing with Hollywood right now is, you keep seeing remakes of the same old thing. Over and over and over. I mean, how many times have they made Halloween over? How many times have they made, Nightmare on Elm Street over? And, you hear all the time, well, all the good ideas have been used up. And I'm like, I'll be damned. You just got to get out there and look. And you got to quit going to the big five publishers for your material. You got to get down in the dirt. You've got to find some of these independent self-published people who are giving it all they got. And you'll find an awful lot of good stuff out there that would make great film. But, it requires work. Yeah.
And that's what I kind of want to bring back to Steve's question on that. That was part of what I knew your question was going to be really loaded for Dave. The And if you haven't done it, Steve, it's some of these small independent, sort of like a Comic-Con type event, since they can't use a Comic-Con, those kind of cons. Mm-hmm. That's the, I'm going to tell you, this is pretty freaking cool that, like for Father's Day, we didn't have Grissy on, but we had her husband Jeff on. That was freaking great.
Oh yeah.
What a fun darn show. But you know, when you go to these smaller cons and you meet the people, and of course I went initially to show some support for Dave, and I met these people around him, and you walk into a con and you get greeted with a hug. It's a trip. And buying the books, Chrissy's books for Avery Reman, for her to read them and do that kind of stuff. Bill Fripp sending signed books to my son when he deployed for Med Cruise. Dave's taking care of us as well. And the funny part is, I remember Dave asking me what the heck was wrong with me, and it's like he don't have enough evidence of a myriad of things over these years, because I let my daughter Kana read the first book in the Hunger series. It's just you get a whole different level of these things, and you meet the authors, and you know them on a different level, and it's really cool. And there is some amazing talent out there. I'll throw things out there where some of the artists and stuff that we do stuff with, it's mind-blowing. There is some amazing talent out there. And I hate to say this, we're sitting here, we're pushing 13 minutes after 10, and that's 22:12 for those that are other than unmarked civilians. There is some good stuff out there, but we don't have much time left. This is amazing. It's been a great thing. I'm so happy you jumped in with some of this stuff, Steve, because you got from the underwater UFOs, because that's almost a whole nother show. I mean, there's like 15 things that came to my head when you brought that up.
There's society kind of related to what Dave was talking about earlier. They're Atlantean theory, society, duel. That's what kind of came to my head when I saw the California story. But, Todd, please finish.
Say good, sir.
I was thinking of the Atlantis, researchers, like the Duel Society from the 1940s period. That's what came to my head during the California story when I was thinking about it. But please continue with the show, because I'm going to head to work. But appreciate you having me on.
Wow, man. It was great having you on.
Before you head to work, do you have anything to plug?
You can reach me at Slower Steven on most social media.
And you will also be a co-guest with Sinister talking about jiu-jitsu this Sunday.
Oh, man, that'll be good, because this Saturday there's a competition that I might go watch, so that'd be good for Sunday.
There you go.
Not to mention you got the Bray Wyatt thing that went down. That was still a big mystery, but that's a whole different show.
Oh, man, don't get me started. I'm not happy about that release.
And then Ronda Rousey got out there and started running her mouth about it today. So at least when Rick got out there, Gates got out there and cleared the air on his end of things and said, hey, you know, I was the one who decided to part ways. So it was good for him to do what he did to keep him off the old gossip track. But Yeah, it's kind of interesting, the stuff with Bray Wyatt, because that guy seemed to be top three material for years, and then all of a sudden, poof.
Well, what hurt him was John Hoover dying, and that was his buddy from WWE that went to AEW, and he died.
Yeah, Bernie
Lee. And
that
kind of wrecked him. They were really best friends, and it kind of wrecked him.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and that's why he was out of WWE for so long, and he decided he was going to take time off. And
he was going to come back, and he was going to come back this month, but they cut him.
No, you know what? I think it was a mutual thing, and I think it was smart of him to say what he said earlier today, or yesterday, whenever he said it. They shut her up. You know, she came in, got a paycheck, won the title, then disappeared, saying that she wanted to have a baby.
Yeah.
She ain't never got pregnant.
I think she recently
That don't mean she ain't enjoying trying.
Yeah, but the whole thing of her leaving and told Vince McMahon that she was leaving is because her and her husband wanted to have a child, and it never happened. So, and she took the money and ran.
No, she did get pregnant recently.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, now 3 years after the fact.
Yeah,
she got a big contract. She got a $20 million contract. Took the money and ran. She only wrestled a year.
Yeah, I was going to say, and went to the front of the line, too, no less.
Exactly.
I know that's probably got to be pretty irritating, too, for all the other talent. I mean, it happens in every job where you see somebody come in. And Lord knows.
Who's still on top? Charlotte Flair's still the one on top because she was one of the ones that said, how could she jump me in line?
Oh, that's some great imagery. You're talking about somebody trying to get pregnant. You're talking about being on top.
Oh, my God.
Hey, we all know
you're
on top.
Does she have a landing
strip? Gravity.
No, does she have a landing strip?
We Band of Brothers.
Yes.
And you hear
that
who said midget porn first? That was Tim. Tim's going midget porn.
Leave it to Tim to get the safe word for us. Make everything better.
Oh, yeah. You may not realize that that's our safe word on this show is midget porn. And when we get out of control, velvet, our safe word is.
Midget.
Turkish prison.
Midget porn.
It's like a peewee word.
If it's really out of control, it's Turkish prison midget porn.
Yeah,
sounds like
that's a pretty busy show. There's a lot going on in that one.
You only use that in desperation, sir.
In case of emergency, break Turkish prison. Midget porn.
Midget porn, exactly. There you go. All right, go ahead.
But no.
On with the chlorophyll.
And I appreciate you asking about the books and everything, man. It's always flattering to have somebody ask. So, yeah, I definitely appreciate that. And don't be afraid to check into Dr. John's work either, because though Dr. John's work is not a work of fiction, like, say, myself or Chrissy or Bill Fripp. But you can tell in John's writing that his heart is into it, and he's believing what he's writing, and it shows in his product. So don't be afraid to look up Dr. John's stuff, because it's very intriguing. It's the same.
I think I downloaded Look Up in the Sky, but I just need to finish it.
Yeah, he's got something going on, and as long as your heart's in it, and it's like anything else you're doing, if your heart's in it, you can knock it on out. If it feels like work, put it down.
Oh, I think we can make another show on just that topic alone.
Pretty much.
Well, I think
so
we got our next month and a half planned.
Yeah, I know. We damn near booked the whole thing. I dig it. Making it easier on me. I don't have to sit around, looking at the Acquirer trying to come up with ideas for a show. So, yeah, it's fantastic. So we got about 10 minutes.
Oh, like you're not going to look at the Acquirer anyway. Oh, you're so smart.
Yeah.
I mean, when you forget your phone and you already know how many towels are in your floor and all the ingredients in a bottle of shampoo, then, yeah, you need to bring the Inquirer with you. You know, the advent of the smartphone has really killed off all the tabloids, I bet. I bet their sales have just, like, just bottomed out since cell phones come around. And I ain't talking about the old flip phones where you're playing Snake. I'm talking like now, because I'm here to tell you, there are times I can get on the toilet and get lost just reading stuff, playing games, don't even realize I'm pooping anymore. So, yeah, still pretty far. But nevertheless,
let me guess, Dave. Let me guess. It's a moving experience.
Oh.
It's a very moving moment. Yes, very moving.
Well, I bet the family's happy there, because they don't hear you cheering, "The eagle has landed."
You don't hear my screams of pain and agony or nothing like that. You know, you get that fan running high enough, nobody can hear you just begging for mercy when you're in there. But that's two poo stories in one show. We had the Elvis poo story, and then we had another closing poo story. So, wow.
Yeah.
Two poos one night. Well done, guys. We're going to have to wipe clean.
Yeah, well, there you go. There you go. No stool puffs are needed.
Bring it full circle.
We're getting really Scott heavy here.
Well played.
Good one. Okay, right?
Outstanding. So, it's time to go ahead and pass it around the room before that salty British lady joins us and tells us it's time to come in because the street lights are coming on. So I'm going to pass it around the room, if you will, Tony Schiavone. So, Dr. John, you still with us? And Dr. John has been abducted by aliens again.
All right, try Tim, because his phone is iffy.
Dr. John, you still with us? Okay, well, there is a confirmation that he has been abducted again by the aliens from Uranus.
Oh, damn.
Fear not. Dr. John will be returning, as always, as we love him here, and he is the puppet master. So, he's always welcome to come on back and talk up his literature. So, yes, and hopefully Dr. John will be back next week, and he will carry on and let us know more about his writing. Well, that being said, I'm going to scoot over to the displaced Arkansas resident, Granny Hulkster.
No. Tim Sell.
He's trying to show me because I put a message out there in the green room that my phone, the battery is low, so it could die at any moment. That's why he's doing that.
So, Tim. You're Granny Hulkster all of a sudden. Tim, what kind of parting shots have you got for us?
So what happened was the aliens landed at Granny's friend's landing strip and traveled underwater because they're underwater aliens. They went over and they snagged up Dr. John and took him the hell out of here.
You need to write on board. Now that's going full circle.
In my octopus is covered in the shade.
Tim Armstrong needs to get on the ball and start writing this book. Yes.
I thought I would, close out tonight, give a little bit of remembrance or maybe not a moment of silence. It's not that deserving. But, you know, we were talking about civilians going into space. And while we didn't go into space, I guess we're a bunch of civilians. But me and my son and my wife launched a rocket out here in the pasture. Thought we were good to go with an acre and a half. You know, how can we lose anything in an acre and a half, right? This sucker that I spent a good hour, because I'm a little on the slow side when it comes to following directions, so it took me a good hour to assemble this rocket. Launched it up. God only knows how many hundreds of feet it went. It was the most cool thing I've seen in quite some time. But the SOB on a day when I measured that thing, I had it at a 90-degree angle going straight up in the air. not a burst of wind anywhere. It was the most still day. That SOB traveled clear over into the field behind our house and dropped into a soybean field. And we've sent out a search party two or three times, but can't find it. So the taser, it was named Taser. So the rocket taser has been lost in the field behind us. So let's all remember
Dr. John
Taser.
Has it.
Oh, man. Well, maybe perhaps in the late fall when the vegetation dies down, it'll show up. I mean,
it's
that's when you find all your golf balls, you know.
Since I've not identified it anywhere, is it a UFO? I don't know.
Yeah.
Even if the wrong one had a rocket in his back, it could hit that ball.
But I'm sure that was a great experience and a blast for the family in more than one way. But, yeah, good
it
to
was.
Have you aboard tonight, Tim. As always, I hope your phone hangs in there for another 5 minutes. 4 minutes, actually.
Same.
Outstanding. So, Granny Hulkster, what kind of parting shots have you got this evening, young lady? Granny Hulkster might have gone to bed.
She's been
she
taken by aliens.
There she is. What you got left for us?
I was going to say that, or she's getting up early to moon people.
Ah, yeah. Well, with all that being said, the aliens are scoring the night, man. They're just pulling everybody up, man. Of course, they don't want me or Todd. We're still sitting here. We're always last to pick for the kickball team.
Or me.
But nevertheless.
Yeah, and Velvet's in here.
Amazing Velvet. Before you get abducted.
Yeah, I was in the trunk. I'm sorry. Yeah, I. You know what? I just want to say I started writing my own book. I haven't titled it yet, but I'm writing my own basically autobiography, I guess you could say. Started that. Sunday will be Jiu-Jitsu Sunday with Sinister and Steve Logan. It'll be awesome. It's going to be good. That's on Pro Wrestling Interviews, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Same number as this number you can call in. Hey, man, I like all the books everybody's written. I started looking some up, so, you know, hopefully I can get some and start reading them. That's what I got. And by the way, if Dr. John is out there, sorry, bud, I couldn't save you this time. They slipped too fast this time. They came by way too fast.
And tell them to leave the damn cows alone. Why are the aliens always screwing with cows, man? Cows are cool.
Because we did.
Well,
we tipped them.
Come down here and get the cockroaches and the gnats and the snakes and all that kind of shit. Leave the cows.
Don't do that again. Remember that? Don't do that again.
Yeah. Pick and choose these animals, you know. Cows are the least harmful.
I'm sure
somebody's died of a cow attack this year that would beg to differ, but nevertheless. So, Brother Saxton, what kind of parting shots do you have, sir?
Man, I part of me says I don't even know where to begin. I'm looking at the damn timeline. We're going to need another minute or two because we just broke 29 minutes after. I got to go with Granny's comment earlier, and it cracked me up about busting on her about mooning people in the morning when she was swimming at 06, because she used the full name. I'm thinking she would have used my middle name when she was chastising me if she'd have known it. I think she'd have gone all kinds of bomb on me with that one. That one was funny. Because she was just, I'm pretty sure she would have used the middle name with me on that one. That was funny. I didn't want to forget that. Seriously, we kind of sort of had a plan. and I do mean kind of, sort of, we just, whatever, I threw it out there. No, I don't think I even got any confirmations on the idea of what I had that I threw out. And we got nowhere near it. Everybody was engaged. Everybody rocked and rolled. That was, it was good to go. Want to close with, stay smart out there. Take care of one another. Take care of yourselves. If you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of one another. And as far as the stay smart, well, work with what you have. Just saying.
Thanks.
We're all no doubt at all. Well, with that being said, before I go in there and cue in the salty British lady who brings an end to all of our broadcasts, I just, like I usually say, self-educate. Do not believe the hype. Do not be afraid to dig a little deeper. Form your own.
0.08.
Yes.
0.08.
Dig a little deeper. Make your own mind up. Do not read the headline and move on. Always try.
And watch your six.
Yes. To get your opinion from different angles, listen to what everybody has to say and formulate your own opinion. Don't sit there and say, hey, I'm going to run this way because so-and-so is doing it. You're your own individual. Take the time to learn. Take the time to formulate. Take the time to make an educated, mature opinion before you get out there and start running your mouth. Make the world a better place. And that being said, when it comes down to making the world a better place, just try to do one good thing a day. One. It could be holding the door for somebody. It could be greeting somebody. It could be lending somebody your pen. One good thing a day with all the assholes on this planet. If they all tried to do that, this world would be a much better place. And quit letting the bad bubble to the top.
Yes, it would.
There's a lot of good out there. You just got to let it happen. So with all that being said, I am closing off the last torch. I'm grabbing what's left of my whiskey. And
nice.
Gingerly walking in because the deck is slick from the rain. And I'd like hell to bust my ass live. So it's easy to do it when it's
not. Oh, my God.
It'd be awesome.
Just one of the times we should be on video.
Right?
I beg to differ. All right, so here I am to the laptop. Oh, trying not to disturb the family that is slumbering and getting to the British lady. So, once again, thank you all for joining us this evening on Pop Culture Stars. Fellas, very much obliged for the help tonight. And I will talk to you all next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Y'all have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Oh. All right, take care, stay safe, and
yep.
Be smart, people. Big hugs.
Yep.